In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Amen.
Christos voskrese. Christos anesti. This morning, the myrrh-bearing women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they come to the tomb of Christ, as we are told, 3 days after the crucifixion. And they bring with them myrrh and spices with which to anoint the dead body of Christ. And we know that the body has already been anointed once before for burial. We are told that the disciple Nicodemus buys a large quantity of myrrh and aloes. St. John in his gospel says that Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of these burial spices, and that he and Joseph of Arimathea take down the body of Christ from the cross. They wrap the body in that fine linen, they anoint it with those spices, and they place Christ's body in a new tomb. And the myrrh-bearing women come this day to complete the job. Passover has ended, and the day has come. It is time to finish preparing the Lord's body for its rest in its tomb. And so they bring spices most likely also left over from Holy Friday, those bought and brought by Nicodemus. But the Lord, we learn, is no longer in the tomb. An angel greets the women with the words that Christ is risen, that he is not here. He is risen, and he has said that he now goes before them to meet his disciples in Galilee. And the women who came to anoint the body of Christ now have a new job. Go, says the angel, go and tell the good news of the resurrection to the apostles. They are the first bringers of the gospel. And this is what they do. They are scared at first, but they leave the empty tomb. They no longer need the costly spices, and they become the first preachers of the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. I have a question, though. I have a question that bothers me. Those spices brought by Mary, and Salome, the sweet myrrh and spices brought by the women to anoint the body of Christ. This bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you. What happened to them? What happened to those spices? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What happened to the spices? On the one hand, Jesus was not there, and so the spices were not used on his body as planned. On the other hand, the spices were very expensive, and they were bought by the wealthy Nicodemus, and the women we know could not afford very much. They were not wealthy in the slightest. There's no way they would have left those spices behind, not a chance. They would for certain have taken the spices with them. The spices were valuable. Whatever happened to the spices carried to the empty tomb by the myrrh-bearing women? I have a theory, and I'm going to convince you that my theological opinion is true. Okay? I brought out from the altar table our tabernacle. It holds the pre-sanctified body and blood of Christ, which I have left on the altar, by the way. But we also keep something inside of it. A little bottle. Does anybody know what this is? This is chrism. This is the holy chrism that we use following baptism for chrismation. And if I can ask the children, just very briefly, just to walk forward, I want you to be able to smell it. The holy oil that we use at the sacrament of chrismation has a very, very distinctive smell. It's very sweet and aromatic. If I can have the children come up and smell it, and to see if you remember it from your own baptism. Okay. So just really quickly, can you smell that? You want to smell it? Yeah? Smell. Remember that smell?
No.
From your baptism or from your chrismation or from another person's chrismation? Yeah? Smell. to smell. Smell. Yeah, I remember. You remember it? Matthew remembers it. Okay, I'm going to just put this in here. And I'm going to leave it here. So anybody can smell it when they want to later. But what I've just taken out is a small bottle that holds that holy oil kept on our altar table for use at chrismation. Again, this is the sweet and fragrant oil that is sent to us by our bishops. And we use the holy chrism at the sacrament of chrismation. When a baby is baptized or when an adult member is received into the church, we anoint the body head to toe. We anoint the body of that new member with this sweet-smelling oil. The holy chrism is the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's given to those who are received into the church. And we use this oil because the apostles are no longer around to lay their hands in prayer upon the heads of those newly received into the church. And this particular bottle of holy chrism was made about 4 years ago by our metropolitan. It contains olive oil. And depending upon the recipe that you use, between about 50 and 60 other ingredients. Things that are sweet and fragrant to give it that wonderful smell. To make new chrism, you always begin with old chrism. Always. That's the way the process works. You pour the old chrism, what's left over, into the new chrism as a sign of the connection that we have with the holy oil that came before us. But guess what? The old chrism, at one point, was itself new chrism. And when it was made, say 10 years ago, the process started with even older chrism, holy chrism that may have been made by our metropolitan 20 years ago. And that old chrism was made from, of course, even older chrism, which was made from even older chrism, which was made from even older chrism. And eventually we get back to the holy chrism that was given to us by the church in Russia itself. But the holy chrism that belonged to the church in Russia also came from someplace too. It came from older chrism over the centuries, eventually receiving that chrism from the churches in Greece and Constantinople. But even their old chrism was made from even older chrism. And eventually, as you trace the history of making new chrism from older chrism all the way back to the beginning, you get to the very first bishops, the very first ones, the apostles and the church in Jerusalem. And as I said, the apostles used to welcome new members into the church after baptism, rather, by laying their hands upon the heads of those newly received and giving to them in this way the gift of the Holy Spirit. But as the church grew and the apostles couldn't be everywhere, they had to have a replacement. And it's this oil that becomes the replacement. This oil is used instead of the hands of the apostles. The holy oil, this chrism, becomes for us the hands of the apostles. But at some point, stick with me, in the first few years of the church, somebody had to make the very first vessel of holy chrism. And to do this, they needed two things. They needed olive oil, and guess what? They needed spices. Now, if you need spices to make an oil which replaces the hands of the apostles, those spices should be very special spices indeed. And if you were the apostles, and if you wanted to make sweet-smelling myrrh to anoint the bodies of new believers, and if you had access to the very spices which had already touched the body of the dead Christ himself, spices already used by Joseph and Nicodemus at the burial of Christ, spices left over and unused by the myrrh-bearing women after they learned the news of the resurrection, would you really settle for anything else? If you had spices that anointed the body of Christ, would you send someone down to the farmer's market to pick up something fresher and more recent. Not a chance. No way. The first holy chrism made by the apostles, I believe, this is not a teaching of the church, is made from the unused spices brought this morning to the empty tomb by the myrrh-bearing women, spices that have already touched the body of Christ, sweet spices that have already perfumed the dead body of Jesus as Joseph and Nicodemus laid him in a tomb. And boys and girls, brothers and sisters, those spices are with us today. This bottle of holy chrism, the one that we allowed the children to smell from, this bottle of holy chrism, because of its connection with the very first chrism made by the apostles, this bottle still contains the spices with which our Lord was anointed. The sweet smell that you smelled just a few moments ago, boys and girls, this is the smell of the empty tomb. The linen sheets no longer needed by the risen Lord would have been covered with these same spices. The sweet smell of the chrism today is the same sweet smell present in the empty tomb when the angel announced the resurrection of Christ. This is the smell of the gospel. This is the smell of God's victory over death. And there's more. Not just the burial linens, but also the body of Christ at his burial was anointed head to toe with the same sweet-smelling oil. And this same body, the body of our Lord and God Jesus Christ, the same anointed and perfumed body, now sits at the right hand of God. This is the smell of the empty tomb. This is also the smell of heaven itself. The smell of the body of Christ, enthroned and glorified. That makes this little bottle something very special. It is a divine gift of cosmic proportions. The spices offered to the Lord by the myrrh-bearing women are now offered to us. The Lord no longer needs to be anointed, rather, for burial, but we do. We do. And what was laid on his body is now laid on ours. The resurrection of Christ is now the beginning of our resurrection as well. And the sweet smell of the Lord's empty tomb now becomes the sweet smell of our own entry into the joy of the kingdom. The fear of the myrrh-bearing women, the fear that they feel this day, is quickly transformed into joy. Joy that comes from the good news that Christ is risen from the dead, that death has no power over the one who chooses to give himself in love up for the life of the world. The fear of the apostles this day has changed into boldness. Boldness to proclaim the gospel that Christ has destroyed the power of death. The sadness of the tomb is now drowned out by archangels announcing that Christ is not here, archangels announcing that Christ is risen. And the wrenching smell of death and decay, all that is dark and threatening in life, all of that is now overwhelmed by the sweet fragrance of paradise in full bloom. This day, the myrrh-bearing women offer Christ the sweetest of spices. And this day, Christ, in turn, offers the sweetness of his resurrection to us, to you and to me and to all who dare to believe that Christ stands with the weak. He stands with those held captive by sin and sickness and death. He stands with those who have no hope, those who have very little strength, maybe none. He stands with those unloved and unvalued by this world. The fearsome cross this day becomes a throne of glory. The oil of death becomes the oil of resurrection, sealing in us the power of the life-creating Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this day and from this moment, accept the gift of your chrismation. Receive the sweet-smelling kingdom in which nothing separates us from the love of God, breathe deeply the incense of the empty tomb. Do not reject what the Lord offers, for he offers himself. And those who are anointed for burial with him are also raised with him into new life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, taste and see and smell that the Lord is good. Christ is risen.